Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Michael Lombardi.
You couldn't get me to buy Mitchell Trubisky if you had him at a discount rack at Seeley's basement.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider.
Here's the fact. Two-minute defense for Detroit was the worst in the league last year. This is the same thing that happened to them in the opening game against Arizona. They got the big lead against Arizona, and then when they went to their two-minute defense and Arizona started throwing the football, they couldn't get control of it. I mean, MVP Mitch is 2-for-11 on third down in the game, and he comes back, and, you know, he leads them to a victory. That team should have beaten them. They should have been up by two touchdowns at the end of the game.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
If you need 124 quarterback rating and you need four touchdowns, go visit Detroit. You're going to get it right now. Just take a plane, go up there. Matt Patricia will play nice soft cover two. We'll play cover one. You want a high school defense? We got that for you. Don't worry. Come on. Come on up here. We're slow too. I mean, when you make MVP Mitch look good, seriously, when you make MVP Mitch look good, something's going on.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is always a joy to talk to Michael Lombardi. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Michael.
I am great. Congratulations. I think an extension's in order for MVP Mitch, don't you think?
Well, how about this? We got all this problem now in Chicago because Allen Robinson actually wants to get paid. And his contract is expiring, and you know, the rumor is Ryan Pace offered him $19 million, a fourth rounder, and two-thirds in 22 and 23. No, I'm kidding. He just doesn't value draft capital. But we don't know what the offer was, but they can't get a deal done. And we had a caller suggest that they have to hold on to their money for Mitch's extension, and that's why they're not paying Allen Robinson.
Don't laugh at it. Don't laugh at it. I mean, you know, look, they probably – look. The hardest thing to do in the National Football League is to evaluate your own team, you know, and you have to evaluate the competition as, of course, how it goes. I think that game kind of went the way I thought it would. I thought I was on Chicago, take the points. You know, Detroit has a big lead. I mean, at some point, when are we, as a billion-dollar industry, going to figure out that a missed field goal is a turnover? In the National Football League on Sunday, there were 12 attempts over 50 yards. Five of them were made. I mean, if Matt Patricia just comes out on fourth and five and punts it down, pins them back, makes them have to play, go the long way for the field to see what they can do, you might have a different game. But the missed field goal, 7 yards from where the line of scrimmage was, next thing you know, things are rocking and rolling, and you go on and lose the game, a game you should really have not lost.
You know, Michael, here – Brad Biggs reported that Allen Robinson, because of the impasse, has demanded or asked for a trade. And that may not surprise a lot of people because that's part of negotiations. But we're also heading into week two. The timing isn't great. From a front office perspective, how do you think the Bears will view this and proceed next? Because they can't allow this to become any more of a distraction than it has.
Well, I think what you have to do is, you know, look, there has to be ongoing conversations between the Bears and the agent, or else Allen Robinson wouldn't be this angry. You know, either you have a policy that the players understand and you stick to it. Look, we're not going to do contracts once the season starts. If you don't draw a line in the sand with agents and you just let them continue to go on and on, remember, the only fear does the work of reasons in contract negotiations. If there's you have to have a deadline. If you don't have a deadline, nothing ever gets done. It's like the old saying in writing, when you write books, every writer says, I don't need more time, I need a deadline. You know, and I think that's what happens in contract negotiations as well. And so, you know, if you're the agent and you're handling this, you say, hey, look, either we get a deal done with your guy or the deal's off the table. Once we kick that ball off, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You know, once we kick that ball off, we'll talk about this in the spring.
Michael, when we look around the league and we see what happened in week one, I think there are all sorts of conclusions that people jump to that might be a little bit too quick. You know, and I get it. It's an overreaction kind of opening day. But I, the one that really surprised me was I never thought Tom Brady and Tampa was going to go into New Orleans and win that game. But the way they lost that, everyone's now thinking that Brady is finished. And part of that is just his age and all the rest of it. Are you careful about your kind of first week verdicts, or do you think that there's legitimacy to some of these concerns?
Well, I think there's problems. Every team has, all 32 teams have problems after week one, even the teams that won. And if you don't recognize what your problems are, and forget the scoreboard, you're going to continue to make those problems. I think Tampa has a real identity problem. Tampa is the perfect example of what I call the Fred Palermo issue. When I was a kid growing up, my Uncle Fred would take me to a diner and said, "Kid, just order the burger. They can't cook everything good here." And what he meant was, a diner can't cook everything good. You know, so go with the burger, you're going to be happy. Well, most NFL teams try to think like a diner. They try to do way too much. And the really good teams only cook about five things. They're like the French Laundry out in Napa, California. They have about five things on the menu, and they can execute them. To me, Tampa was the Fred Palermo issue. They just tried to cook everything. They, "Oh, Tom, this is what you like for offense? Sure. Bruce likes this. You know, Mike Evans likes this. O.J. Howard likes this." Next thing you know, you're the Cheesecake Factory. You know, you're going to get Chinese food. You're going to get American food. You're going to get a burger. You can't operate like that. You can't operate like that. You can't run an offense like that. They had no real distinctive. And so that's the real issue. As I keep harping about with Matt Nagy is, "Hey, Matt, you need an identity. Triple reverse on third and one isn't an identity. You've got to have one. Remember, you can't be good if you don't have tendencies." And I think that's the biggest issue that I saw down in Tampa.
So, Michael, when you look at this Bears situation on Sunday, and we know what you think about Mitch Trubisky, but when you can evaluate him objectively and you see the way he stepped forward in the fourth quarter, does that outweigh the problems you saw in the first three quarters if you're projecting how tight of a hold he has on the starting position? Does it have any effect the other way? Like, boy, he showed us how shaky this situation is going to be, or how do you view it after game one?
Well, I said earlier, you know, Detroit's the worst two-minute football team last year. It killed them. It's killed them again. And I said this, too, on the air. He was going to know what they were in. Now, look, give him credit. He makes a great throw in the back for the winning touchdown. You know, good throw. He did overthrow it accurate. But there are a lot of plays in that game that kind of went that weren't not very good. And when Matt can control the game, when it wasn't a two-minute game, Mitchell did not look very good. When it got to a spread attack where he knew the coverage, Matt Nagy could tell him, "Throw the in route on this. They're going to be in cover two." Or just he actually executed like I said he would. And I think you have to look at it as a whole of the parts. I think, to me, against the Giants, now the Giants last week against Pittsburgh did not play as vanilla as Pat Graham played when he was down in Miami. He got after Roethlisberger. He kind of tried to get to him. He's not great at corner, doesn't have great pass rush. But I think this will be another step. He's not going to know exactly what Patrick Graham's running for the Giants defense. And I think that's going to be the key to dominator to evaluate Mitchell Trubisky is how does he play when it's uncertain, when it's uncertain in the game. And then if he can execute at that point, and then you have to, you know, look, you have to put your bias behind you. Look, if he can do that against Mike Zimmer, if he does that against the good coordinators, I'll be the first guy to say I'm wrong, but I don't think he's going to.
The thing that bothered me about the Bears game was the play of the defense. They just did not look like the team I thought I was going to see. And, you know, I get it that Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback. He threw a touchdown pass that was dropped in the end zone with 6 seconds left that we'd be having a totally different conversation about. I look at Daniel Jones and I see a quarterback you can get to. But I'm worried about the Bears' pass rush. Robert Quinn hasn't played. There's got to be something wrong with Mac. He was on the injured list and did not have a great game. What? When you have a team with an elite defense and that doesn't turn up, is that just it takes time? Is that, oh, boy, there are injuries with some key players? What's your takeaway?
You know, I thought they played great defense in the last year and a half. I mean, unfortunately, they haven't since Vic left, they haven't played great defense. They haven't been that opportunistic, turn the ball over. And I don't think their defensive front has taken over games. And, you know, look, Mac is best when he can play from in front and rush the passer. You know, Robert Quinn, they're counting on to be another pass rusher. But it's hard to be a great pass rusher when you're always playing from behind, when you're always trying to get the ball back, you know, so your offense can get back into the game. Once again, you know, you get down at halftime, it's hard. So, you know, I am concerned. I think Daniel Jones will have a good game throwing the football. I mean, Daniel Jones, when the Steelers played vanilla against Daniel Jones, he was pretty good. He knew what he was doing. They had a nice rhythm to the game. When the Steelers turned up the pressure, kind of start bringing some of those zone dogs, attack the protections of Jason Garrett's schemes, you know, it was a real issue. And, you know, look, Daniel Jones was operating in the game, I think, Monday night. I wish somebody would have mentioned it on television. Clearly, the Steelers knew every run that the Giants were going to run. They knew it by formation. They knew it by stance. They knew it by the offensive line. They could tell by the depth of the back. They blitzed into every single run because they knew what was coming, and that never really changed. And if the Bears can do that this week and stop Saquon Barkley, that'll be a huge get.
Daniel Jones, a pretty dynamic young quarterback, Michael, but he does make some questionable decisions. We saw that the other night in the red zone, especially 14 career starts, 14 career interceptions. What is the key to him kind of making that next step? And if you're the Bears, do you try to – he's going to throw you the football, you would think, but what's the key to kind of defending him?
You got to heat him up. I mean, you know, I could hear Al Davis screaming in the background, we're going to hit him on the first 10 plays every play. You got to hit him. You got to heat him up. Here's the problem, and the same problem that MVP Mitch has, is that when the game becomes faster, you know, you got to play your best. And sometimes quarterbacks, when the game gets faster, they don't play very good. You know, Ryan Tannehill early in his career was the same way. When it was third down and the game heated up, Ryan Tannehill was really good for Miami in the first quarter. But when it got into the fourth quarter and the game came plus or minus three or seven points and it heated up, it became a real issue for him. It's the same thing with Daniel Jones. Now, you're hoping that maturity and experience is going to change that. But right now, he makes way too many mistakes in football. Same thing with Sam Darnold. You know, and as the game heats up, it becomes a real problem.
Michael, great stuff. Really appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Remember Uncle Fred now. Always order the burger at a diner.
Great advice.
And we'll remember to listen to the GM Shuffle, your fine podcast on radio.com. Thanks a ton, Michael.
Bye-bye.
That's pretty good.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.